Now I've stopped swimming. Well, far be it from me to say, but there is more to this world than swimming really fast. There are many different possible lives ahead of you. Like I said last week, you could be a glaciologist. I've been researching and And it was then that the phone rang. 1 minute, said Mrs. Elm softly. I'd better get that. A moment later, Nora watched Mrs. Elm on the phone. Yes, she's here now. The librarian's face fell in shock. She turned away from Nora, but her words were audible across the hushed room. Oh, no. No. Oh, my God. Of course. 19 years later. The man at the door. 27 hours before she decided to die, Nora Seed sat on her dilapidated sofa scrolling through other people's happy lives, waiting for something to happen. And then, out of nowhere, something actually did. Someone, for whatever peculiar reason, rang her doorbell. She wondered for a moment if she shouldn't get the door at all. She was, after all, already in her nightclothes, even though it was only 9 p.m. She felt self-conscious about her oversized eco-warrior t-shirt and her tartan pajama bottoms. She put on her slippers, to be slightly more civilized, and discovered that the person at the door was a man, and one she recognized. He was tall and gangly and boyish, with a kind face, but his eyes were sharp and bright, like they could see through things. It was good to see him, if a little surprising, especially as he was wearing sports gear and he looked hot and sweaty despite the cold, rainy weather. The juxtaposition between them made her feel even more slovenly than she had done 5 seconds earlier. But she'd been feeling lonely, and though she'd studied enough existential philosophy to believe loneliness was a fundamental part of being human in an essentially meaningless universe, it was good to see him. Ash, she said, smiling. It's Ash, isn't it? Yes, it is. What are you doing here? It's good to see you. A few weeks earlier, she'd been sat playing her electric piano, and he'd run down Bancroft Avenue and had seen her in the window. He had once, years ago, asked her out for a coffee. Maybe he was about to do that again. It's good to see you too, he said, but his tense forehead didn't show it. When she'd spoken to him in the shop, he'd always sounded breezy, but now his voice contained something heavy. He scratched his brow, made another sound, but didn't quite manage a full word. You running? A pointless question. He was clearly out for a run. But he seemed relieved, momentarily, to have something trivial to say. Yeah, I'm doing the Bedford Half. It's this Sunday. Oh, right. Great. I was thinking of doing a half marathon, and then I remembered I hate running. This had sounded funnier in her head than it did as actual words being vocalized out of her mouth. She didn't even hate running. But still, she was perturbed to see the seriousness of his expression. The silence went beyond awkward into something else. You told me you had a cat, he said eventually. Yes, I have a cat. I remembered his name, Voltaire, a ginger tabby. Yeah, I call him Volts. He finds Voltaire a bit pretentious. Turns out he's not massively into 18th century French philosophy and literature. He's quite down to earth, you know, for a cat. Ash looked down at her slippers. I'm afraid I think he's dead. What? He's lying very still by the side of the road. I saw the name on the collar. I think a car might have hit him. I'm sorry, Nora. She was so scared of her sudden switch in emotions right then that she kept smiling, as if the smile could keep her in the world she'd just been in, the one where Volts was alive and where this man she'd sold guitar songbooks to had rung her doorbell for another reason. Ash, she remembered, was a surgeon. Not a veterinary one, a general human one. If he said something was dead, it was, in all probability, dead.